Okay, we're holding by Nisiv Shalom, Reish Hei, Gedoy the Tshuva. Last paragraph. Gedoy the Tshuva, says Nisiv Shalom, Tshuva is great. Shemekarev es ha'odom l'shchina. It brings the person close to the Shechina. While it's kol ha'machitzas noiflin. And then all of the barriers fall away. Ba'olam shekulay or niftach lefanav. And a world that is all light is open before him. He's able to see within the entire creation the Creator. And the person is able to be even closer and even more beloved to Hashem than he was before he sinned altogether. How is that? This is according to how the first Slon of Rebbe explains. With the Sefes Beer, with the additional explanation. V'mama Chazal, in the words of Chazal, Chotav V'Kiflaim, it says that Bnei Yisrael, before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, sinned double. V'lokav V'Kiflaim, and therefore they were smitten double.
You spoke about this when you Shabbos Shuvah drushes.
No, I spoke about this by
Shabbos Nachman.
Shabbos Nachman,
I
spoke
know,
about it.
During time.
Yeah. We're all about surprises.
Completely fakes me out.
Yep. Umis Nachman v'kiflayim, and we are comforted double. That's it. The Medrash brings a pasuk that we sin double because it says Chet Chata Yerushalayim. It says a double expression, Chet Chata. And then it says, in the Pasuk it says explicitly, Kiloku Miyad Hashem Kiflaim, that we were smitten double. And then it says Nachmu Nachmu Ami, right? So we're comforted double. Yeah, I spoke about the Shabbos Nachmu.
Yeah, definitely spoke about it.
So Bir L'Shayin Chata B'Kiflaim, so the explanation of the term that they sinned double, Sharayim Chatu Harbe, because it doesn't really make any sense. Because if they sinned a lot, like Neflah Zeh Loshen Kiflayim, it's not. It doesn't seem that the right expression would be that they sinned double. They sinned a lot. V'chein Mashayach Loko B'Kiflayim. How's it possible to say that they were smitten double? Sha'inish Yeyosim Mashachotu, that the punishment should be more than what they sinned. Ella, rather, ki ben hamelech shechata, the son of a king that sins, koyezol hamelech yoyzer ve'ilu. I said, Mama said this. Koyezol hamelech yoyzer ve'ilu hayoyzer ishachach etzer. The king is more angry at the son of the king that sins more than he would have been had anybody else committed the same sin.
Because he knows better.
He should know better. V'ha'inish shemekalva ben ha'melech koyev lo yoyser me'ilukiv lo yishachem. And the punishment that the son, therefore the punishment that the son of the king gets is going to be more hurtful than the punishment anybody else would have got. And so also afterwards, when the son of the king regrets what he has done and he returns to his father, the closeness is a lot stronger, double the closeness than had a stranger returned, than a stranger regretting and apologizing. That is the main greatness of the concept of tshuva by a Jew. It's the concept of being comforted double, meaning the closeness and the connection is double as strong as it was than it was before the sin altogether. It's the as long as a person that hasn't sinned, there's there's never that expression that the son has to the father of how close he wants to be to him, because they've never been separated. But when they have been distanced, and the son has no choice but to tell the father how much he misses him and how close he wants to be to him. So that expression brings them even closer to that than they were before he said
that. Isn't that concept also cause and possible? It's an integral effect where it causes the son to go out and
right. So that can't be, because if the son really desires the closeness of the father, he wouldn't do that. He shouldn't be able to tolerate the distance even for a small period of time. Yeah, it only works post facto.
Like a bungee cord.
Huh?
Where do you go up? Or the closer you come back.
All right, it's okay.
I've been told. Makes it wonder.
Okay. And now, with taharas hachet, when a person purifies himself from sin, after the sinner has regretted what he has done and he does tshuva, yesh beis inyanim. There are two concepts: kapara utahara. There is atonement and purification. You can't get people to come on time.
So unexpectedly.
There is kapara.
I think what's going to be with the mikvahs here. There's going to be absolutely no excuse.
Right. Kapara utahara. There's the atonement and the purification. As we find by Yom Kippur, the Chassid Bey, it says two things about Yom Kippur. It says, on this day, he will atone for you, to purify you from all of your sins. Before Hashem, you should purify yourselves. So there's Yechaper and there's Titoru. There's atonement and purification. So the understanding of this pasuk is Shema Kippur mitayim v'kol hachatayim, that Yom Kippur purifies a person of all of their sins. So the Nesiv Shalom asked the kasha, l'chayra harei v'braisa d'dal chiluki kapara. The Gemara in Masechtas Yuma brings a braisa that there are four differences in how certain averes are atoned for. So it says over there that Isa Shiyama Kippurim Mechapa Chiva Loisase. So really, the only thing that Yom Kippur takes care of is a person's transgression of Loisases of the prohibitive commandments. For the positive commandments, you don't need Yom Kippur. Person does tshuva any time of the year, his tshuva is accepted immediately. And for anything that is liable of death, which is either death in the hands of heaven or death in the hands of Bezdin, that Yom Kippur doesn't atone for. One needs nowadays that there is no misa. One still needs to come on to either affliction or Rachman al-Tzlan or death. So it's only Yom Kippur really only takes care of the prohibitive commandments. But for the more severe averus, sorach gam yisurim misa, a person still needs to chas v'shalom to come out to affliction or death. So why does the pasuk seem to say that Yom Kippur wipes away everything? But there are the understanding here is that there are two concepts. Kapara himolosh and kinuach. Kapara, the word kapara, which is literal, which we translate as atonement, really literally means to wipe away. That's what the word kapara means. Shigam im nislach loy, meaning that even after a person has been forgiven, he has to still wipe away the schmutz, the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, the filth that he has caused on his nefesh, ruach, and neshama, which happened through the avera. So that still needs to be wiped away. We have the same thing in Tanya. Right, for this, there are these four differences. Meaning, of course, the person is forgiven on Yom Kippur for all of the others. There is forgiveness. Nevertheless, there's still a cleanup job.
Yeah, it's still in the eyes of court, so to speak. But right. That was inflicting.
So the neshama has to be cleansed. There, the neshama is either cleansed through. For prohibitive commandments, the neshama is actually cleansed on Yom Kippur. And then for the other ones, it's either cleansed through affliction or through misa.
Is that kind of like, you're forgiven, but it's not forgotten?
No.
It's not cleansed.
Because it's not cleansed, you can't forget.
I don't know. I don't like that term.
I stole $40 from you. Okay, you forgive me, but give me back my $40.
No, I won't forgive you. I won't forgive you unless I get my $40 back.
Okay. So what's an example then?
Example is that
and I may forgive you, but I still will always remember that you stole $40 from me.
No, I think
it's talk during the evening.
When you do something, for example,
like that
eyes of court, you did something, Hashem was forgiven you, but you still have a scar. You damaged your neshama.
Right, I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Means damage your neshama. It's just the. I don't know how to say it. Inflicted by sitra on the other side.
You made the.
And you go to final count, they still look at you. Think you're done.
Well, we've spoken about this mashal about the. King giving his son the royal garments, telling him to be careful not to make him dirty. So the child goes into a place where the king told him not to go to because that can make his garment dirty, and indeed his garment becomes dirty. Right, so the king tells him. So the child feels terrible that he transgressed the will of his father. Besides the fact that he got his garment dirty, so he goes back to his father and asks forgiveness for transgressing his will. And the father forgives.
But the garment's still dirty.
The garment's still dirty.
So he's gonna wash it.
So when I look at the garment, I know
the father's got it.
My son still. Transgressed me,
right?
Even though I forgave him.
No.
Don't they have dry cleaners?
So that there is. It's called hell.
Temperatures are very hot here. Yeah. I'm trying to picture that one. No sticky, no washy. I mean, yeah. Sorry, that just doesn't go too well. The image.
I'll never see dry cleaners the same.
I know. Christina's won't be the same now. That's a good sign.
That's the ancient Chinese secret, right?
Yeah. We clean your clothes before Yom Kippur. You that's clean your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good marketing tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then one person dies and goes to the court. What do you charge for if you ever say he's forgiven?
A person's neshama is cleansed then.
Okay.
You could be forgiven for everything. It could be what's forgiven. But it's still, his neshama still has to be cleansed.
That's what I mean.
That's what I mean. It's like a scar, which needs to be cleaned. That's what I'm saying.
Be returned to its original form.
Yes, so it's like a scar, which it, it's still there. You did something, it's a scar, it needs to be get rid of this scar.
Right.
And also, okay, that scar tells about this, and that you was forgiven.
That's why you, it's healed. Still, it's healed. It's the ones that aren't healed, that's the real issue.
It's like you get a scratch on your car, it still has to be buffed out, polished up. Taking to the body shop, they don't just, you know, wave a soft cloth over them, scour it and repaint.
The more severe the avera is, the more cleansing it needs. That is kapara. Kapara means wiping away. But there's another concept. That is the concept of purification. As it says in the Medrash HaTayv, that anybody that transgresses avera, it's as if he was contaminated. Meaning, besides becoming dirty, we're also contaminated. And the Rishonim learned from this, that every Baal Tshuva needs, somebody who does Tshuva needs to go to the mikveh. We said that there's a, the Belzerov said that this is the source of the Chassidim go to the mikveh every day. Because we, hopefully we're supposed to be doing tshuva every day, and the Baal Tshuva needs to go to the mikveh. Sha'avira metama, because the avira contaminates the person. And even after forgiveness, and even after wiping away the avira, a person still needs to purify themselves. And this concept is unique to Yom Kippur, without a mikveh. Yom Kippur does the job. Usually people go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur also.
Yeah, why? Well, we all go to the mikveh.
Right, but not just not everybody does. But
Yom Kippur, everybody
Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is purifies onto its own.
So you don't need to go.
What?
So you don't need to go to the mikveh.
Everything helps.
We've all seen the water in the mikveh under Yom Kippur.
Yeah, it's pretty black.
We've all seen the water in the mikveh
under Yom
Kippur.
That's why I need the wiping away.
It's called a shower.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to take a shower afterwards.
The issue of taking a shower after a mikveh only applies to a deraisa tefila.
Oh.
It doesn't apply to our.
Applies to what?
Oh, so that's
to
for women.
A mikveh that is obligated with the minotaur.
Okay, so that only applies to women.
And how there's.
It's good to know.
Changes.
I'm picturing the mikveh next to a dry cleaner for some reason. It's a whole new concept.
Rishlaim Zalman Auerbach used to say that he goes to the mikveh, before, he goes to the shower before he goes into the mikveh to be Mekayim, be after the Reach HaKamecha.
he goes, well, that's taking it really personally.
And he goes into the shower after the mikveh because of those that weren't mekayim.
There you go. Being a Talmud of Rav Nevinson, like I could picture it. I could picture it.
Yeah. It is a time of will. That Hashem gave us the Torah to purify ourselves before Hashem of all of our sins. This person wants to know what time davening is. Hello?
Promptly.
How'd you know that?
Yeah, we found that he gets a call.
He's a rub. That's how he does.
That's right. On this, Rabbi Akiva said, "Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you, Yisrael." Lefnei mi atem mitarem, before whom do you purify yourselves? Umi mitar eschem, and who is it that purifies you? Avichem shebashemayim, who mitar eschem, it's your Father in heaven that purifies you. Shezoichem lebuchinas tahari elois, where we are, we merit a heavenly purity. And the essence of this concept of purity is bara, can be understood according to what we've explained until now. The ikar achet, because the main sin causes who shall the main result of the chait, that what we care about most is the fact that we are distanced and separated from Hashem through the Avera. And the mitzvah is to connect us to Hashem, and the Avera separates us.
Consequence.
Every morning we say, our God, the neshama that you placed in me is pure. Meaning, nishmas ish Yehudi hi tohira. The neshama of every Jew is pure. It's part of Hashem himself. V'hi mashpia tahara b'nefesh ha-Yehudi. And the neshama instills purity in the nefesh of the Jew. The nefesh is a reference to the nefesh of Bahami, the animalistic soul. Sheyuchal yezdavuk b'mekor ha-tahara, that we should be able to be connected to the source of purity, which is Hashem.
I heard this a million times, but about this piece of neshama, it's God's. How is this possible? How is this possible that the really, really part of the God in us?
What bothers you?
Everything. If it's true, how can we act like we do?
Because we have that other neshama that. The Nefesh of Bahamas.
That I understand very well. That part I know really well.
I'm sure you've encountered the Chedek of the Kamehameha numerous times.
When you do get tzedakah, you feel it, don't you?
No, it's everything.
We do good things.
Any yearning that we feel, any.
How Hashem. Maybe it's a silly question. How can you put himself in such a position to trust yourself? With who?
We say every morning. We get up in the morning, we say, Moedani Lefanecha, right? We thank you, Hashem, that you gave us back Hashem. Rabba Munasaka, your trust, your faith, Hashem's faith is great. That's what he's saying. Hashem, your faith in us is tremendous. Maybe we batch up every day.
I was going to say, you could trust one, two, but realistic.
See, Hashem is not Russian. You would never trust.
I wouldn't.
See? They don't trust anybody. Yeah. It's a
losing proposition. Let's put it this way.
It's true.
It's obviously worth it for those few that succeed.
I'm not talking about people. But
no, he's saying it's worth it for Hashem because of those few that do succeed.
Maybe.
Yeah.
How about everybody else who fails?
They'll get put in someone else, and hopefully that person will succeed.
It's like a casino, let's say, but you know that you're going to lose.
How do you know it's a failure? Maybe that's what Hashem wants.
Just open your eyes.
We don't know why he put any one neshama in any person, and it may just be that it may be that one time that person gives the dollar to tzedakah, and that may be the only reason why he was put here. And the rest of the failures were,
it's not only just because of those few that succeed, it's because the few times that you succeed, it might be worth it.
Isn't it about the trying, not about the succeeding?
It's for us, honey, but not for Hashem. Put his own, stick your own finger somewhere, you know that it's going to be cut off. You won't.
Think of a fish that lays 100,000 eggs and maybe a dozen of them grow up to become fish.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but it's inescapable.
I'd say more
like those 900.
These things,
really
they don't have any connections with the fish.
I would say more like a father with a son. The son keeps failing time and time and time again, but the father's going to keep giving his money and doing and trying to send him where he needs to
go. He's questioning giving birth to the children.
First place.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
I noticed someone's not here at the lecture. But you love them anyway, even when they do make a mistake.
Right. Again, but he's questioning why, if you know that those children are not going to.
How do you know that? I mean, you don't know that. But you're the parent. You don't know that.
Yo.
Because without them, there's an emptiness.
You have to go back to the first you said. Hashem is not affected by anything.
That's also, I think, it's very interesting.
Hashem is not affected by anything. So,
you lead to believe that there is cause and effect. That's why I think it's
right. Because Hashem decreed that there should be cause and effect.
Right, right. That's what I mean. But maybe he decreed now it doesn't apply to him somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. It's only for our sake. The whole entire Bria is only for our sake, which is all, you always have to come back to the fact that Hashem decreed that the ultimate good should be that we should have free choice, and that we should benefit from, we should be rewarded for our choosing what's right.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Is with Svarim Hakdashim. It says in the Svarim Hakdashim, "Shkasher Adam Chayte Nishmosem Mistalekes Emenai." The Svarim Hakdashim say that when a person sins, his neshama departs from him. What does that mean? Haynu shemistalek mimeno yikayach advekus. It means that what separates from him is the power of connection. Usually, the person's neshama actively connects the person to Hashem. When a person sins, a person is acting totally in totally opposite of what the neshama is trying to do. So the neshama stops actively connecting the person to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And the person becomes distanced and separated. And the light of the neshama no longer illuminates within him. until a new spirit of purity from above comes upon him. So again, so according to what he's saying is that there's the neshama of the person is actively working on connecting the person to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. When the person sins and the person actively the person actively counters that what the neshama is trying to accomplish, the neshama no longer accomplishes that until there's a new spirit from above that comes upon the person to actively connect him. As it says in the Sefer Nachal Kedumim, written by the Chida, al haposuk v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. It says in the pasuk, you should return until Hashem your God. It says v'shavta. The word v'shavta is oisius shavas, right? Shavta and shavas are the same letters. Just different vowels. What?
Chida.
Chida. Reb Chaim Yosef David Azeloi.
Occasionally it happens.
And the Chiddush says that whenever a person does a sin, he draws upon himself a tuma, a inner tuma and an internal tuma and an external tuma. Al yedei habechia v'acharata, and through crying and regret, mitaras atuma chitzayin, is the person purifies his external tuma. Aval atuma apnimi is tzorach shiyamshich b'toichay kedusha. But in order to purify the inner tuma, a person needs to draw within themselves a holiness, v'nitzutz echad, and one spark, shigadash m'toichay zatuma, to banish from within himself the tumah. And that is the power of Shabbos. Meaning, it's not enough to get rid of the external tumah. All you have to do is rid yourself of tumah. And that is through crying and through regret. But in order to get rid of the inner tumah, you actually need to bring in new kedusha. It's not enough to get rid of the tumah. You have to actually bring in new kedusha, and that is the power of Shabbos. Shalidei Shabbos, which is additional kedusha, betaras achet gamah hatumah hapnimi, is the person is able to purify himself from the avera.
So is this your extra
even
special
from the inner tumah? What?
This year's actually special because Yom Kippur was Shabbos, so brought in.
There you go. That is why the pasuk hints to the word Shabbos when it talks about tshuva. That in order to return to Hashem with absolute connections, that it is impossible without the light of Shabbos. Adkan.
Pepper vodka really purify you from inside.
Didn't see any this week, though.
I thought that was the tumor.
It's not a tumor.
It's kind of like mikvah.
You come inside, it really cleans you up.
Better than drinking mikvah water.
They have pills for that to clean you out from the inside.
Yeah. V'zehu yitzuma shayam ha-kippurim. And that is the essence of Yom Kippur. Shemitar nishmas Yehudi, it purifies the soul of a Jew, and the person returns to his connection to Hashem. As it says, I will throw upon you pure waters, and you will be purified. As it is hinted to in the words of the Rambam that was mentioned, tshuva is great. It brings a person close to the Shechina, Shenemar, as it says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha, return Yisrael until Hashem your God. Ki achrei ha-tshuva ha-gemura, because after total tshuva, shuv chezeretz v'ni'ura v'yadvekes v'Hashem Yisbarach, the connection to Hashem is reawakened within the person, v'idiyoyisem v'lefnei ha-chet, even more than before the sin. Let's finish up. And these, similar to these words, Rabbi Yona writes, she's about tshuva al Hashem, that the Baal Tshuva should daven to Hashem. Shiach beitz boy, that Hashem should want him, should desire him. Yirtzeu v'yei osar loy kasher loy chata, and Hashem should be willing to him as if he has not sinned. Kini shekosav divrei Elihu, as it says in the words of Elihu, which was one of Eve's friends. You should daven to Hashem that Hashem should want you. Because it is possible that the avera should be forgiven and the person should be redeemed from affliction. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's saying like this. It's possible that a person should be forgiven and redeemed from affliction. But Hashem no longer wants him. And Hashem is not going to accept any gift from him. That it's possible. There's such a possibility.
Meaning Hashem is giving up on you, basically.
What?
Meaning, in a sense, Hashem is giving up.
No, and Hashem is saying, you know what? I'll forgive you, but let's not ruin this relationship. Let's keep a distance. That's Vitalis al Tzadikim. What?
What kind of forgiveness is it? What does it mean, really, then, it's forgiven?
It's forgiven meaning I
agree to disagree?
No, that's for sure. Let's say somebody has a relationship with a person, and then the person offends, one person offends the other, right? And it hurts a lot more because it comes from someone who's so close. And then the person asks for forgiveness. He says, you know what, I forgive you for what you've done. But to renew that close relationship, you're not going to take another chance. It says, V'tavis al tzadikim, but the desire of a tzadik is the hafik rotzame Hashem Mashiach v'em. That's not good enough. To get Hashem's forgiveness and just not renew the relationship. We want Hashem to renew the relationship. Take us back, and illuminate your face towards us again, so that we should be saved. That all we want is Hashem to illuminate His face towards us. And that is the concept of the desire to have a relationship. That is the great light that encompasses all sweetness. That's why we find that David HaMelech davens after he asks, cleanse me from my sin. He continued to daven that Hashem should desire him. After he says, purify me, cleanse me from my sin, he says, don't throw me away from before you. Don't take away your Holy Spirit from me.